we meet tonight, unlike the others, past and future. We meet tonight on Gimel Elul, the night of Gimel Elul, the night after Gimel Elul, which is coincidentally the 50th Yahrzeit of Rav Kook. He died in Gimel Elul 1935, right before the war. The clouds were already starting to form. It would have been a very interesting kind of projection to see what he would have written as a result of the war. We weren't zocha to it.
Yeah.
It is the same year that the Chofetz Chaim died, I believe. If I'm wrong, it's that I'm wrong with just a short while.
What year was the Hever Massacre? 37?
The Hever Massacre was 29. Sure? Yeah. Now, we stand in Elul. You happen to have been born in Elul also. I was born in Elul. We stand in Elul time, which is the theme of Elul is Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li, which is a renewal of relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in preparation for the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Now, let me tell you something. There are two ways which we have celebrated this Elul and Aseres Yimei Tshuva experience, the 50 some odd days, beginning with Elul and Tkiya Shofar and ending in Sukkot. The first way is a way of Umalochim Yechofezum, that at the sight of at the perception of Yom Hadin, even the Malachim start to flutter around in fear. This is what we say in Sanatakev, and they are gripped by the awe of the experience, yelling and screaming at one another, Hine Yom Hadin. Uh-oh, the whole world stands before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam on Yom Hadin. That's one experience.
What did Malachim get to fear? I mean, they don't have a yitzhar. They do everything automatically.
No, they have nothing to fear. But they have to fear, and this is already in the Gemara, they have to fear an original calculation that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam made. It's stated in the Gemara and repeated in the Medrash. When the Rabbeinu Shel Olam said, Na'ase Odom B'Tzalmeinu K'Dimuseinu, and it uses the plural over there, where he consulted all the forces in the world, Emes, the force called Emes, the concept, came to him. Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, Emes, you are going to create a human being who is going to spend his whole life in trying to perpetrate Sheker. So Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave him an answer. Shalom came to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and said, you are going to create a Gan Eden, and you'll watch, you'll see that who is going to destroy it? The cats? The rats? The mice? The dogs? Right? The Tzelem Elokim is going to destroy it. The very Tzelem Elokim that you're going to go... So he gave him an answer. And so on down the line. So when you ask what you have to fear, the Malachim have to fear the Yom Hadin, that we, Bnei Odom, the all of humanity, have got to withstand. No? You only think that in this generation we are on the brink of disaster and self-destruction, of overturning what the entire scheme of Bria, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was? This is the way the Rabbeinu Shel Olam conceived of a world? The Haraya? The issue with Noach. That's why the Rabbeinu Shel Olam puts a Parshas Noach before Parshas Lech Lecha, to indicate to you that the world in every single generation, mankind, has been ready to destroy itself. And there are times when it almost did itself in entirely, if it wasn't for the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to come and say, you know, I'm sorry that I created this creature called mankind, but Zois Prisili Eilam, you know, as Kashti Nasati Be'onon, the Onon, the cloud is very dark and gray and dismal. Who made it that way? The human being who pollutes all of society. Elama, I still have a keshis, I still have a very brilliant and colorful keshis. So there's what to fear of Yom Hadin, from the mess that we have created, that we ourselves are authors.
No, this is what the Malachim.
No, they fear for what's going to be. Okay, they fear for what's going to be. Hina Yom Hadin, ki lo yisku be'einecho badin. Because if you really lay it out on the line, what schus do we have? There's another emotion, however, when it came to Elul and to the Yom Hadin. Okay? Totally different picture, a flip side of the coin, entirely different. Where does the pasuk Ani ledoidi vidoidi li come from?
Sure.
Rabbi Akiva told us that if all the shiras, if all the songs in Torah are kodesh, like Oz Yoshir, or Shiras HaZinu are kodesh, when it comes to Shlomo Shir HaShirim, it's what? It's kodesh kodeshim. It's double the kedusha, and maybe more because of what it says. What is the Ani LeDoidi VeDoidi Li? It is the kodesh kodeshim, the holy of holies, of the Kedushas B'nai Yisrael and the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to B'nai Yisrael. Love doesn't stand in the fear of Yom Hadin. Okay? Elul is a Tshuva Me'ahavo experience. Is another honeymoon. And Rav Kook, they used to say, when it came to Tkiya Shofar, you have to say the seven psukim, min hametzah korosi kor, right? Mm-hmm. So, three psukim, the fourth pasuk after that, after min hametzah korosi kor, the fourth pasuk was sos anoichi alim rasecho kemotze shalol rov. Sos comes from sosom v'simcha. I am just elated, I'm full of joy. Sos anoichi, at this moment when I'm ready to stand and blow the shofar, sos anoichi, I'm only filled with full of simcha alim rasecho for your words. Which words? The words that you said at Matan Torah. And Torah was given to whom? To us, not an Irishman, not a Shagas. Kimoitse Shalom Rov, as if I won the $38 million New York State lottery from tomorrow. Okay, it's already 41. Kimoitse Shalom Rov, not just a bonus of $1,000. Not just a profit of 21% on some stock or whatever. Kimoitse Shalom Rov, a ship sinks. And it's from the days of the Spanish Armada. It was sunk by the English. And it lay off of the coast in the Atlantic, in the depths of the Atlantic Ocean, for 200 years. And you open up, and what do you find? You find gold and silver and diamonds and pearls. We are talking about Kimotse Sholol Rav. You know what Rav Kook used to do? When he would say, he used to be makri those psukim. He asked that he be allowed, instead of the chazan or the baltikeya, he wanted to say those psukim. Yeah. When it came to sos anoichi alim rasecho kemotze shalom rov by Tkiya Shofar, he was in ecstasy. You saw him smile, it was like a simcha rabba. That what? Ashreinu, how fortunate matev chalkeinu. How incredibly good our lot is. Mayofo Yerushaseinu. This Yerusha, this Torah that we got in Yerusha as an inheritance is Mayofo, is the most beautiful thing in the world. No, so comes Elul time, comes Rosh Hashanah time. You know, did you ever see? You see two faces. One face, which I cannot record on the tape, a sullen, sunken in face, worrying neurotically what's going to be. All right, that has to be. When your life hangs in balance, I don't deny that that's correct. You know what was the Elul time? Elul time to him? He never had a broader smile on his face. Why? Because the color's coming. Virtu Hashem Behimotzai, the Yosef Korev, the Kala is coming and he is the Chosen. No? The same thing that you see with certain Kalas, certain Chasanim. They walk down, you look at the pictures, they walk down as if what? Kivakoras Roye Edroy, as if they're going like sheep to their funeral, right? And others, you see, you take a look at a Kala. It's Kala Noah Chasuda. It's beaming a Chosin Mare Koyen. I mean, who ke Chosin Yetsi Mechuposoi? He was just like he came from the chuppah. So Elu is the Ani Ledeidi Vedeidi Li. It is a time to stop all this sour puss activity. And Gewalt Geschwigen, it's got to be Sosa Neuchi Alim Hosecho. We got to go out and dance now and Ki Ashefa Gewalt Geschwigen. Ashreinu Matev Chalkeinu Manoim Goraleinu. It's got to be. Rav Kook put his finger on this. I hope we'll be able to get to it in his essence of tshuva. Now, in honor of the 50th Yahrzeit, I chose from his Oros HaTshuva in several places, but my underlying theme is to be able to substantiate for you the inseparability of Eretz Yisrael and the national Eretz Yisrael, not the physical land, not a piece of territory, but the idea that a nation comes to life and how it is tied into tshuva. It is indispensable. Now, I cut and I pasted from various places, and I don't necessarily say that I've taken all, but I want to clearly tell you that I hope that I've taken pieces that you don't know. I say it and I'm not ashamed. I am proud. I say it with pride. I am a lover of Tzion. I am a lover of Tzion and Eretz Yisrael in the style of Rav Kook. If there is anyone we needed more today to guide us in our mumble jumble of Zionism, which has become a source of frustration for the very Zionists themselves, it would be a Rav Kook today. We don't have him. And the only thing we have left is his insight. We will, in Yetz Hashem, live and be well, in future Rosh Chodoshim, we'll investigate what his tshuva is, why there has to be tshuva, what are the elements, the components that he holds are necessary for tshuva. Everyone who wrote on tshuva, the Rambam wrote on tshuva, everyone wrote to define what the components are. For tonight, I want to start at the end, and that is that one of the indispensable ingredients of Rav Kook's philosophy of tshuva is Eretz Yisrael. And by Eretz Yisrael, I mean the whole process. It's Tchiyat HaUmah, the renaissance, the reliving once again of a nation. And a nation doesn't only mean a human being who sits and celebrates Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkos, Chanukah, Kippur, and Pesach, Talis and Tefillin, Shabbos and Cholent, alright? And hand-baked Shmur Matzahs the first 18 minutes. There's something more than just that. And without that something more, which can only occur in this process, the renaissance, the renaissance means the reliving, living once again, there's no way in the world that you can understand his concept of tshuva, because one and the other are intrinsically bound. They are one coin. If you take a look on the first page, I'll do this out of order. You see, every five lines I've indicated with a number. Go to line 29. Right before number 30, line 29. It's from a sefer that was unavailable for a long, long time. He wrote it, Al Pelei Toya. And here too, his whole theme of Arpelei Toyah. Arpelei comes from the word Arofel. Arofel is deep darkness. Deep darkness is sadness. Deep darkness is fear. Deep darkness is the gates Almoves, the valley of death. Arpelei Toyah are two words that are used at Har Sinai. Okay? It's in the Rosh Hashanah Matzah. Right? That's right. Arpelei Toyah means the darkness out of which Tohara, purity, comes from. And he has a whole sefer full that was just recently reprinted and not available for a long time of paragraphs, and every paragraph is another idea. In Arpelei Toyah here, not translated into English, unfortunately, he starts with the first generation when Mashiach is about to come. What characterizes the first generation? Probably he held that we are this generation, he and we. This is one big, not in the classical sense of a generation of 20 or 25 years, but we are the first generation of Ikvesa de Mashiach. The Ikvesa, Hador HaRishon Shel Ikvo de Mashiach, the coming steps of Mashiach is characterized as follows. Meaning what? B'tchilas Keitz HaMegule Shel Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. If we see the Keitz HaMegule, the obvious end of time, then you know we are talking about the beginning Tchilas of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the beginning of the resettlement of Eretz Yisrael. And this resettlement in the first generation of the coming of Mashiach, line 30, Hu Machshires HaChomer Shel Knesset Yisrael. It is the process that machshir, what do we mean by machshir? That makes proper, that prepares Knesset Yisrael, the totality of Yisrael, v'haruchnius tzricho l'shamesh bo, rak shimush shel shmiras hachayim apnimiyim. The ruchnius that has to occur in this generation, Sricha l'shamesh bo, should serve one purpose, and the purpose is shimush shel shmiras hachayim apnimiyim, guarding the inner life that we have. Now, what is this inner life? Well, you've got to understand that this is a very difficult concept. The chayim hapnimiyim is not only the life that you don't see, but it is the life that you really live to the fullest. Now, I'll give you an example. Externally, we have pressures. You have to go to work. I have to go to work. These pressures take us away from what we would really want to do. What do we really want to do? Is there not a Jew sitting around this table who wouldn't agree with David HaMelech? Acha sha'alti me'ez Hashem. I want one thing. Shifti b'veiz Hashem kol yimei chayim. Okay? So I thought I'd be a rov in a shul, and that's the way I do it. And my father, the rov in a shul, told me, you're a fool. I never knew I had such a fool for a son. You'll be an athletic director, that's A, and you'll be boy, a bat boy, when you have to go play, and C. He gave me the whole list from A to Z. Everything but the shifti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayim. Now this is the chayim apnimim. It's the inside, the ideal life that we would all want to live. Oy, if we could all make it a yom shekule Shabbos, and we don't have to worry about the telephone. We don't have to fear about all of the necessities and just be able to chunk out 24, 25 hours, and then again, and another one, and another one, and another one, endlessly, just to be able to sit Friday night gefilte fish, Shabbos morning chapped liver, mitachon, shalosh shudas, a piece of herring, and in between sleeping and learning. What can be so bad? That's the achashalti me'ez Hashem. This is the chayim apnimim, the inside true essence of what we yearn. And this chayim apnimim, this inside life, is dictated by what? By the neshama. The neshama shenasata be the neshama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me, that's tahirohi, that's tohar, that's pure. That doesn't want me to make any compromises in my daily life. that doesn't want me to come up against any kind of nisyonis, any kind of trials, that doesn't want me to have to worry about chatsufim, a bunch of jerks that I have to walk around with. You'll pardon my street language, but we're in the street, that's the way we gotta talk, and that's the way we deal. This is not the Chaim Apnimiyim. This is not my neshama. This is not my real essence. These are only external distortions because of the fact that Nebuch, we live in such a world. This is in the first door. I'm an Ikvus of the Meshicha. This business of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, of going back to relive Eretz Yisrael, what is the purpose of going back? What is it supposed to do? It's supposed to give the Shmiras Chaim Apnimiyim. It's supposed to guard over this essence of ours, to make us what we really were in the times of David HaMelech, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. And what were we? Achashalti me'es Hashem, shifti be'es Hashem, kol yimei chayai. In the days of the second Beis HaMikdash, do you know what a kid on the street knew in comparison to our Gedolei Torah today? This is the point. By going back to Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael, sitting in a sukkah, it cannot be the same pnimius, that same essence, as sitting in a sukkah here in 770 Eastern Parkway, or on Lee Avenue, or in Monroe, or, you pardon me, on Ascension Street in Passaic. And if it is, then you don't know what the Chaim HaPnimiyim is. You have no way of knowing. Yeah, Chaim.
When was this written, this piece?
Al Pelei Torah is difficult to know when he wrote it. But the reason being is one of his drachim in writing was a thought entered his mind, so he would write it into a notebook. He didn't write. This is not a treatise. This is not an essay. The book is over 100 pages, about 160, 170 pages. But they're only compilations of paragraphs. And he did not date when he entered the paragraph into it. As he sat and thought, boom, he jotted down these five lines. Now, in these five lines that you have in front of you, the paragraph before and the paragraph after have nothing to do with this. Just small, let us see this. You know, quick, one, two, and that's it. So I cannot tell you. I have no way of knowing.
I'm asking because, well, he was left in 1935, right?
Yeah.
Right. So most of what he had written was without any knowledge of the Medina.
That's hard to say. The Medina was on its way.
Yeah, so
oh.
He's knowing that.
No, all yeah. You think, look.
Who didn't if he didn't know about it, no. I didn't believe it, but if he didn't know about it, this would be Gavala.
Give me 100 years before. Give me 100 years before. The fact that the Medina was eminent was one of the pulling points for him and for his Rebbe, and we spoke in the last year, who was the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, to make this dramatic push and get people to go to Eretz Yisrael. You know, we talk about JNF, and this is just a small aside, and JNF has a history of where it was started, and its purpose was to buy land from the Goyim to be able to repossess in a legal manner of simple payment, and buying the land from the Goyim, from the British, from the Turks and else, and the Arabs. Do you know who really was the first in historical record to come and insist that Jews create a fund to buy the land from the Goyim? Rav Rab Shmuel Molova, one of the big tzaddikim of Bialystok. Long beard. Okay? Now, he was influenced by Rab Shmuel Molova. Everyone was influenced. There was a Sfardi, Rabbi Yehuda Alkalai in Turkey, who wanted the Sfardim to do the same. Okay? Rabbi Tzvi Shkalasher before was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He wanted to buy space on the Har HaBayis to be able to be Makrif Karbonis today without a Beis HaMikdash. Now when you say Rabbi Akiva, and I will, if you want me to, just dare me. I'll show you. Rabbi Akiva Eiger agreed with him. At Kolben Pesach we can go ahead and do today. Here? You know what you're talking about when you're talking about Rabbi Akiva Eiger? You're talking about the diamond, the jewel of his generation, of the 1800s. These are the ones who started. So the Medina was imminent, my friend. 100 years ago the Medina was imminent. Only to a Hadassah lady who goes to Hadassah meetings, only to a Hadassah lady can you sell the line that the Medina started with Herzl and the Dreyfus case over there. Okay? In a short space of, you know, a few years. That the day before, nothing existed. It's nonsense.
Montefiore in Altheim, Assis, and
Rothschild.
They wanted to buy up by the Turkey. They wanted to take over Israel. Mm-hmm. In Vasarely negotiations.
Wasn't Montefiore at the same time as Herzl? I think roughly at the same time, weren't they? Montefiore
predated Herzl quite a while. Okay, he was an old man by the time. They were contemporaries, no question about it. Okay, but Montefiore was working long before Herzl. You see, but you know. Even a Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh gets lucky, and you use it more than the next Sefer Torah, even though the next Sefer Torah may have been better. Herzl, in Basel, in 1897, got up and made a very dynamic speech. After all, he was a charismatic journalist and a handsome guy. In Basel, he wrote, "I founded the Jewish state." Okay? That became the prophetic pronouncement of Herzl. 1897 and 50, and he predicted, he says, within 50 years. And Taki, that's the way it was, 1947. Gorgeous, there's no question about it. But I hate to tell you, the 50 years before Herzl, in the yeshiva of Volozhin, they already founded the state. And 50 years before, in Volozhin, they were talking already about Herzliya. Okay? Now, I am not in any way knocking Herzl Zionism. I have no need for it. All right, it's not my brand. What my need is to show us, to talk to us who are B'nai Torah, that we were the ones who gave life to this whole idea of a Medina, that without us there wouldn't have been. There would have, may have been other things. A Uganda plan. To go take Uganda over there by Idi Amin and solve the anti-Semitic problem that was going on in the 19th century. You can't. That's it. But do you know who knocked Herzl off of his high horse with that plan? The Russians, who were far frumer, even the non-frum, who were far frumer than the assimilated Germans and West Europeans. And when he saw that he couldn't win with Menachem Mendel Sishkin and others, He went ahead and he finally let go of that insanity. But if we, from the religious point of view, didn't give the geschmack, and I don't know how to translate the word, that word, geschmack means the onion powder and the garlic powder and the salt and the pepper and the sugar and whatever else flavor, the whole flavor to this Eretz Yisrael, then I don't think Zionism would have really gone very far. We were the ones who gave it. Gosh darn it. And if we throw up our hands now and don't take the leading role to be mashpia on every Jew that this experiment called Eretz Yisrael is indispensable to our existence, then we are going to have to give din v'cheshem before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when that din v'cheshem comes, Reb Chaim, I'm afraid we won't be smiling. I'm afraid we'll be shaking to the core for having missed an opportunity that will never again come.
All the religious people actually got the kesher, I mean the connection with Eretz Yisrael all the time. We didn't know from Palestine. We knew it exists Eretz Yisrael. I mean, from years, 50 years, 100 years ago, this, we know Eretz Yisrael. Later, I mean, the mother said Palestine, Palestine, and so on and so on.
We didn't know. Right? I have a letter, a copy that was in the Jewish press about, I don't know, 6-7 weeks ago, of a letter written by Rav Cook in 1917, calling for all the Jews all over the world to come to.
What's that?
And warning about, and you know, you could take the letter and just change the date and put it in 1985, because it was warning about the dangers approaching the Jew in Gullis.
Okay, so what I will show you in one of our... one of ours,
1937.
Okay, yeah, but I will show you in one of our subsequent gatherings over here some of his work to try to convince the Torah world that they are berserk for not getting on the bandwagon now.
I guess one other quick thing, just to take up, because something you said I personally have a very strong feeling. I've been fortunate enough to be able to visit Eretz Yisrael 5 times in the last 8 years. I've been going every other year. And I, to this day, contend that I get more Kedusha on a Shabbos being in... We have cousins who live until just recently in Nahariya. You know, Elkie Bornstein's brother lived in Nahariya. I used to go visit Sumner and be in Shabbos in Nahariya, which is far from a very religious community. And yet I got more feeling and a love to be in Nahariya for Shabbos than the middle of Muncie or middle of Borough Park or in Flatbush or Passaic or any place. Nahariya with the swimming pool and the beach and everything else.
You know,
I felt I was in Eretz.
It's not just who you're spending with, because it's Eretz Kodesh. There's a splendid feeling with anybody who goes there. When they come back, you don't feel that. You don't have to go to Yerushalayim. I mean, you should always go to Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
You can stand in
any place.
I mean,
any place that I've been.
It's amazing.
Remind me to show you in Gemara Ksubis. I forget exactly where it is, whether it's Kuf Aleph or Kuf Yud Aleph or Kuf Yud Gimel. Gemara Ksubis says, La'olam yodu odom be'eretz Yisrael. A person should always live in Eretz Yisrael. Afilu ir shekula goyim. Even in a city where the total population is nothing more than Arabs.
Yeah.
Alright? Shekol hador be'eretz Yisrael is kemisha yesh lo eloka. Wherever you live is like a person who has his possession. He's got the inside track. He's holding on to what it means to have a God. Shekol hador bechutz lo'aretz. And anyone who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael, kemisha ein lo eloka, doesn't begin to understand what it means to have getlachkeit, to have the Rebbeinu Shel Olam sitting on your shoulder and saying, "Good morning, Bacher, how are you?" Came to learn, huh? See you tomorrow. Remind me to show it to you in the Rambam also.
Rabbi, I'm Rabbi Katzke, I'm quite good. I think someone's told me, I'm not sure now, but somewhere that no matter how high of a level you achieve here, you'll never fulfilled as a Jew. I mean, you can live amongst your own and live within your own, but it's never a fulfilled feeling, because there's always that emptiness. As you close that vacuum.
Look, we can all tell our stories. I want to get back to the text, but just a very quick one. The first time I visited Eretz Yisrael was January of 1970, when a few months ago I had moved to Passaic. I was sent for a 3-week visit, all expenses paid, as a delegate to a Zionist convention, to the World Jewish Congress. It met in Tel Aviv, and they gave us a stipend to make sure that we come to the sessions. We were daily given an envelope with money paying us for being there. That's the way they took attendance. If you came to get your money, then you were there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Came Friday. I came every day. Came Friday, Erev Shabbos. I grab my money, and I run to Yerushalayim for the first time in my life. I check into the hotel, and I start walking. I was at the Tirat Bat Sheva, which is on King George over there, a little to the east of Times Square, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. First time in Eretz Yisrael, the Shalayim. So I asked how to go to the Kotel. They told me, follow the crowd. You'll see, follow the crowd.
Yeah, follow yourself.
Follow the crowd. And that's exactly what I did. I dressed like I do here in Golis. A black suit and a white shirt and a hat, and I went Yashar Yashar. I came to Shaar Yafo, and I suddenly see that I'm in the old city. But I want you to see how one instant of second changes my feelings. I look in front of me as we go into the narrow path of the Shuk. I look in front of me, I don't see a single Jewish face, only Arabs. I froze in my spot. It took me about 15 seconds to say to myself, "You dummy. Here, you are the majority. You are the boss. that when they come and stand in your way, they will have to be pushed away. And then I walked, and I saw suddenly some young faces. And I saw a yarmulke, a kippah. And what a different feeling all of a sudden. The difference between majority and minority. The difference between where you're boss and where you're not boss. And this is the Shmiras HaChaim HaPnimi. If in Eretz Yisrael I cannot feel totally free of the old Malchus Goyim, of this incredible oppression from a Goy, where else can I feel it? No place. There's no place. Now let's go back. On line 31, the end. Here's where he throws his zinguru in. The last word. When strength will come to the koach, to the ability of the chomer. What is chomer? Material strength. When gashmius, when material strength will be strengthened of the nation. Oz. Only when you reach material strength, yigalu, will be uncovered. Kol hasgulos haruchnios hakedoshel shebo. Only then will we be able to uncover and reveal the sgula, the specialness, the differentness of the ruchnius, which we call ruchnius, and the kedusha, and this differentness, this holiness that is within us. So he makes contingent, one of his conditions, for us to show the Chaim HaPanimim, the inside pearl, is to have what? Is to have an outside shell of protection that is full of chozek, full of strength, full of koach, full of ability. There's no other way. There's no way. The pearl that you have in an oyster is because the outside shell of the oyster is strong enough to withstand any kind of danger. And if you won't have that outside shell, the chomer, you won't have the pearl inside. And this is the point. These are radical things. And when that happens, in the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Toshuv HaTorah, the Torah will return, V'chol Ma'oroseha, and all of its radiance, Ma'or, all of its radiance will return to its full strength. Now, ma'ora, right? Ma'or, or chodosh al tzion to'ir, right? What happens, light? What happens when you look at someone and you see that someone radiating? Is that the face that we put on? The ugly, sunken, sullen, sorrowful face? Or do you see a person who just sparkles with radiance, with light?
He's not all oil.
This is it.
He is not an oil.
Okay. And it is so strong, as Uncle Joe here says, is lihiyos la'or oilam. It is so vital in its brilliance that it can light up a whole world. That Torah, you light up my life to the extent that I will be able to walk in the streets and people will ask, what are you smiling about? What do you radiate about? What is it? And then I go tell them, what is it? I learned the Pasuk Chumash today with Rashi. Tonight I'll come home. I will not sit down with beer and popcorn with my feet up by the football game. But I'll sit down after Myrif as tired as I am, and I can sit in the Adashir and I'll learn Torah. There has to be a driving, motivating force of light. So that it becomes Ateres Tiferes Biyad Hashem. It becomes a gorgeous crown in the hands of God with which He crowns us. Litznif Melucha. And it becomes the kingly robe. Tznif is like a robe or a shawl, b'chaf elokei Yisrael, in the hands of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, to be able to place on his beloved, who is that? Knesset Yisrael. This is a different emotion altogether for Elul time, and that's why I picked it here. Elul, with all of its fears and all of its uncertainties of not knowing what's going to be, your life hangs in balance, has still got to be an experience that we came through a year something we achieved, something we accomplished, and it was only because of the fact, Matir Chalkeinu, because with all the tzaras and all the craziness in the world, our lot is better than any goy in the world. Mayofa Yerushaseinu, go take Khomeini, and go take the Irish, and go take the Zimbabweans, and go take the Iraqis, and the whole bunch. They all have culture, they all have learning. There is nothing in the world that could be better than what we have contributed to this world. No, that's going to put creases on your face, or do we have to come around starting to smile for once and one? Not a stupid smile like the Jews for Jesus, you'll pardon me, have advertised in, what do you call it, in the New York Times. Why is everyone smiling? We're not talking about that. But we are talking about a smile of radiance that comes from the Chaim HaPnimim, from inside, that the rays sparkle from inside and break through in your eyes, in your talk, in your the way your mouth, the way your lips are pursed, all the way through until it affects the entire world. This is radical stuff. This is truly radical stuff. Now, let's take go to the next page. Perek Yud Zayin of his Oros HaTshuva. I took the whole perek. This happens to be translated in English. The title that he gave to the chapter was Hizgalus HaGedola Shel HaTshuva, this great manifestation of